I would like to introduce the first speaker, Sharon C. from the Friday Night Weekend Make It group in McKees Rocks, from the group NA of East End. She's a really, really awesome woman. She's my sponsor, and I have the pleasure to introduce her.
A grateful addict. My name's Sharon.
Hey, Sharon.
Hi, everybody. It was an honor to give back to Narcotics Anonymous. I'm going to tell you a little bit about how I got to 6 and 7. I can never, like, do just a step meeting without telling you how I got to, like, that point in my recovery. First of all, my clean date, September 28, 2002. I haven't found it necessary to use. So in another month, I'll be celebrating 15 years, God willing. Anyway, I got here and I came back from a seven-year relapse from having 8 years clean the first time. And my sponsor, like, got me right back into the steps, you know, and she went to her sponsor and said she didn't know what to do with me. She said she's a newcomer, treat her like a newcomer, you know. And I got right back into the step work, the step program. You know, you don't sit around and wait and, like, not do anything, you know. You know, the steps are here for us to recover from the disease of addiction, you know. And, what I learned is, like, you know, the first step taught me about powerlessness and the unmanageability, you know. And I learned, like, that I was powerless over people, places, and things. But I wasn't powerless over myself. I had power over me and my thoughts and my actions and my behaviors. And I had to learn how to be responsible for me. And I had to own my own consequences for my behaviors, I moved on, you know, through, like, kind of 2 and 3, and in 2 it says we came to believe. We didn't say we did believe. And the words came to believe, for me, it implied a process, you know, implied a process that we came to believe. You know, I didn't have issues with God when I got here, so it wasn't, like, hard for me. You know, some of us struggle with that, but it wasn't hard for me. You know, and talked about the restoration and being restored, you know, and like, for me, that's always an ongoing process, you know, throughout my recovery. I think, you know, we always can still act out and still have insanity in our recovery, you know, in different areas, you know, and when the pain gets great enough, we grow or we go. I've seen it happen over and over and over again, you know. Take some work. Yeah, do some work if you want to stay here. And that's just what I see, and that's just what I know for myself. You know, step 3, you know, was probably one of the most powerful steps for me. You know, like, turning my will and my life over to care of God as I understand them, not as you understand them, or not as the church understands them, but as I understand them. You know, and I've talked to a lot of my predecessors that when I got to this step and, like, asked them their experience. And I did a lot of reading. And a lot of books outside of NA books that really helped me build a belief system that worked for me, and what's the difference between my will and God's will? I had to learn that. I had to learn that because I didn't know what that was, you know, the difference between self-will and God's will. And what I know is that self-will, I almost always got pain. Almost always got emotional pain. You know, God's will for me is like always good. I know that God wants all good things for me. You know, and blessings. You know, I'm so blessed today. You know, and like, I don't always see the blessings till I get to the other side. You know, I've been through some like really painful stuff in recovery. You know, when you're going through it, you don't look at it as a blessing. Mm-hmm. You know, until you get through it and you get to the other side of that fence. And you see the growth. And you see, wow. You know, that was a learning experience, you know, and it really was a blessing. And hopefully you don't repeat it. You know? Else you're back to step one, doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. You know, that insanity. You know, so, you know, and like, when I was done step three, my sponsor had me do, write all the spiritual principles down on little pieces of paper and put them in a basket. It took me a really long time to do before I did step four. And I had to pull one out every morning as I walked out the door to work. And I had to put it back in the basket. I had to look what it was. And then every night I had to write journal about like how I practiced it in my life that day. And if I missed a day, I had to do it for 30 days. Okay, just 30 days. And if I missed a day, I had to start my 30 days over again. And it took me like, I don't know, I think 6 or 8 months to do that 30 days. You know, because, like, and what that taught me was consistency. It taught me to be consistent. You know, you know, so I learned how to do that. And where I got the spiritual principles from was the first sentence out of the step working guide in the spiritual principles section. The first sentence in every step in the spiritual principles section, it tells you every spiritual principle that we practice in each one of the steps. So if you haven't don't have a step working guide, you should look at it. It'll tell you. So finally, I finished that, and she allowed me to move on to step four. You know, so I started my my inventory, and what I know about step four, and I always share this about step four because everybody thinks it's like this dreaded step four. You know, and the first time I ever did, the first time I was clean, we didn't have a step working guide when I got clean in 1988, the first time. And like, so we had to look words up in the dictionary. We didn't have smartphones and all that kind of stuff. We were lucky we had pagers back then. They would say, in the meetings, they would say, the prologue, they would say, silence your pagers. You know what I mean? You know, so we had to look the words up, and when I looked the word moral up, said the moral inventory. But I found out that it's like it meant positive, negative. And we find out that we have some assets about ourselves. It's not just all the negative stuff. You know what I mean? And I found out that I had some positive qualities about myself too. You know, it wasn't all just all the bad stuff. You know, I told myself I was all the bad stuff I did, and that I was this bad, awful, ugly, mean person all my life. And that shit kept me high. The guilt and shame from that shit kept me high for many, many, many years. You know what I mean? So while I was doing my inventory, like, I tried to focus on the positive stuff too. You know, and I shared that when I did a fifth step with my sponsor. You know, and my fifth step was simply sharing my fourth step. you know, which revealed my defects of character, which brought me to my sixth step. And my sixth step for me was way, way more painful than the fourth step. You know, back in the day, we talked about, like, the dreaded fourth step, you know, you heard all about that. But, like, when you open up the book and it talks about, like, your fractured personality, and you, like, really think about that, you know, and like, how you really feel, you know, and how you feel like your character is really, like, fractured, and you feel so broken inside. That's some painful stuff. You know, that for me it was. I'm sharing for me, you know, how it was for me. You know. And it also says in It Works How and Why that, like, it's a lifetime process. And, like, you just don't write the questions and answer the questions and it goes away overnight, and we're going to be entirely ready. It doesn't happen like that. It didn't happen like that for me. You know, it's been a process. You know, I still have character defects. I still can act out on them. You know, I'm getting better. You know, I'm getting better. I don't do it as much as I used to because I've been clean long enough where it makes me uncomfortable. And then I feel guilty. And then I have to go make amends. You know what I mean? Like, because I don't live like that anymore. I don't live like I used to. I don't have, like, I have a conscience today. When I was using, I didn't have a conscience, and I really didn't give a shit what anybody thought or how it affected you or how it made you feel, and I just kept on moving. You know what I mean? That's not how I live today. You know what I mean? I have feelings today. I care how it affects people. You know, what I say, how I say it, the tone I say it in. You know, so I have to always remember that kind of stuff when it comes to my defects of character. And, that I'm a human being and I'm not a perfect being, and that God doesn't expect me to be perfect, you know, but He expects me to do better. I always strive to be the better person tomorrow than I was today. And I know as long as I do that, then I'm doing the right thing for the right reason, you know, and for me, step seven is like the shortcomings for me is the behavior that I act out on the character defect. The six and seven go together. And when the pain gets great enough, usually I become entirely ready at that point. You know? And I'm usually, like, hitting a bottom. Just like I hit a bottom when I came in here to get clean. I usually hit a bottom with that defect of character. And it's usually really, really devastating. Emotionally, spiritually, and that, like, I just can't take it anymore and I need to do something different. You know? And it takes me right back to where I was when I came in here. Like, I just don't want to do this anymore. I just don't want to live like this anymore, and I just don't want to feel like this anymore. You know? And it's sad and unfortunate, but that's how it is for us. You know, it's just how it is for us. You know, but what I know is that, like, through the process, life gets better. You got to stay in the process. You know, I was just talking to somebody that's staying where we're staying at, and we were talking about just step work in general and, like, how differently like all of us do step work and have done step work, and you know, and we were talking about, like, you know, it says in our, I'm sharing with her, like, what it says in our literature, you know, that we're just, when we go through the steps the first time, it's just like starting to peel the layer, the first layer of the onion. Like, we start over again, you know. So, and I've been through the step working guide several times. Thank God. You know, thank God. So, and where I'm at in my recovery now is that I'm working in the new book, the Guiding Principles book. So I can learn how to deal with people on the outside. You know. So, but, you know, life is good. And you don't have to use no matter what. That's, I heard that at my very first meeting. If you're new, just don't use no matter what, and there's hope. Because I don't know about anybody else, but I was hopeless when I got here. I was very hopeless. I had no hope. You know, I was like, I had hit bottom. I didn't remember how I got home the night before. And I knew there was a better way because I'd been here for almost 8 years. You know, but the disease had grabbed me by the balls again. It won again. You know, and the war was over again, and I lost. I lost the war. You know, thank God I made it back alive. People aren't making it back alive after a day, a week anymore. They're just not. You know, I really don't think I have another, like, relapse in me. And it scares me. It scares me. So I stay here. I don't, like, fluctuate. I don't go anywhere. I still come to, you know, anywhere between, usually anywhere from 2 to 4 meetings a week. That's my regular, depending on how I feel. I have health issues, you know. So, but thanks for letting me share.
I'd like to introduce the second speaker, Graham G. from the Serenity Cafe, a group of NA in North Pittsburgh area.
Hey, family. I'm Natick, named Graham.
Hey, Graham.
I guess I'm going to introduce myself a little bit, and I'm going to talk about my experience with Step 6 and 7 and a little bit of life experience, like how they applied to my life today. First of all, I got to thank the retreat committee, man. It's like every time I come out here, I swear I have a topic. My first lead was given out here, and my first NA function was here with like 5 days clean. I came back the next year, gave my first lead. Remember, Ron was there, and I was terrified, but then I saw Ron, and I was like, okay, he's already heard everything, so I can't screw this up too bad. So it's nice to always come back out here, you know. Like, I got a lot of experiences out here. I had weekends out here where I walked around crying to everybody, and then they made me speak that year too. But I've had really good experiences out here too, you know. Like, I've made some good bonds out here. Like, I love this retreat. I keep coming back every year. I think this is my 10th one. Like I said, my first one, I was here with 5 days, and last week we celebrated 9 years. And I don't think I've missed one yet, so I'm gonna keep showing up. Enough about me. Let's talk about this life-saving program a little bit. So the topic I was given, like, really applies. I mean, I guess any topic I get is going to apply to my life because, like, this, the basic text is, like, the story of my life. So I can pick it up in any page and it'll apply to what's going on with me today. But when I got the topic about 6 and 7, I thought about, you know, some areas I've been falling short, and I thought about some areas that could use improvement, and some things that I still do clean that, like, kind of make my life chaotic and unmanageable. And It took me back to a spot where my life was really good. And the story that I think pertains the most, the way that I want to present this, it's not really my business how I want to present it, but it through my life in recovery, I was on like the longest pink cloud you could imagine. You know, some people talk about coming in for like 90 days and like everything goes great and, you know, it's all like rainbows and butterflies and like you just feel good for the first time in forever and like that. I carried that out for a long time. Like, my life was taking a real positive forward trajectory, service commitments, life stuff, like relationships were good, family was back, I was employable, I was getting educated, like people liked me, I could walk into a room and feel comfortable no matter where I was. And my life got really full with around 4 years clean, and like I was engaged and everything was, we were planning a wedding, and like I had kind of stepped away from some of the program stuff a little bit. I wasn't as active with my sponsor, I wasn't actively working on steps. And that pink cloud thing was starting to fade away just a little bit. We had a softball team called the Pink Clouds for the first, 3 years of my recovery. And as you can see by the shirt that I'm wearing, we changed the name to the Defects that year. Here's why. So the fiance left me, and I wasn't prepared for it. She was in recovery, too. She was a good person. I got nothing bad to say now. At the time, I did, but... we just weren't compatible, I guess, for whatever reason. And she left me, and I felt so alone. I had moved. We had bought a house in a different location. I hadn't really established a good we there. I hadn't gone to a lot of meetings there. I had a new home group that I didn't really like. And I was very isolated, and I was on an island. And that was really hard. And, like, my character defects were really popping off at the time. Now, I kind of skipped over the part about working the 6th and 7th, but... this is like how it like applied to my life at that time. Like, I didn't want to use. Like, I knew I didn't want to get high, and I knew getting high wouldn't solve any of the problems, but I didn't want to feel the way that I was feeling, and I didn't know what to do or how to get out of it. A lot of that self stuff, like my experience from working the 6th step was, I did a lot of, I had to become willing and I had to become aware of like what these defects were and where they came from. And there was a list that my sponsor had given me. It was passed down from his sponsor and from his sponsor. It was about 30 different like words, adjectives, short phrases. It was all defective character traits. And some of these I looked at and I thought, like, these can actually be good things. And like my assignment was to write them out, write what I think they mean, then look them up and write what they actually mean as it pertains to a character trait, and then write about how my life would be without them. So That took me a long time, because I'd do like one or two a day and I'd get lazy. But by the time I got through all this, like, I started seeing patterns in each one that like where they came, like where the root came from, and it was all self-centeredness and fear. And I'm like, I didn't like looking at that, man. Like, I came in here so full of pride and that ego, and I was this big shot like white boy drug dealer from out in the country that like everybody respected, and like I came in here and I had to be humble and I had to be the same as everybody else, and like it was a big deflation to my ego. And like then I'm looking at like defective character traits. It was painful. I was clean. I didn't have the drug to mask those feelings anymore. I didn't have that numbness like I used to. And so I had that experience of like writing down these defects of character, and like then whenever I went through this stuff with the fiance leaving, it changed my world. Like, it really did. Like, I was so close. Like, I was suicidal. There was nights I just didn't want to live. There was nights I couldn't pick up the phone, and like, you guys held me up. Very few of you, I might add. I mean, it wasn't like the whole fellowship came and like scooped me up and took me under their wing. It was like one or two people that like tolerated me through that process, and like I'll forever be grateful for them. But I had to look at self, man. Like, whatever I did that pushed people out of my life is going to continue to happen. Whatever I did, like, I'm never going to get that answer. She's never going to give me that, the satisfaction, that closure, that, this is why this is why I'm leaving. It's like, no, it's something I'm going to have to reflect on and figure out on my own. But it all comes back to that self-centeredness, man. And like, I'm terrified that it's going to happen again. And I keep going through the same Groundhog Day of relationship after relationship, that it keeps ending the same way. And I'm never going to get that until I like find out with pen and paper. So something about me is pushing people away, and I need to figure it out what it is. And like, it's a process, and it's going to take some time. Back to the actual process of working the step. Sorry if I'm jumping around, but... whenever my sponsor gave me this list of like 30 things, I thought, oh, no problem, I'll do it in a day. And it took me a little while. And whenever I went through this stuff with the fiance leaving. I Googled character defects. Don't Google it. There's a list on the internet with like 197 of them. Now my poor sponsees have an exaggerated list. They don't get all 197, but they don't get to 30 either. Somewhere, I think I stopped at 66. I like to torture them a little bit, but I told them that they don't have to do the whole list. They just have to do the ones that apply to them, the ones that stand out. So like now we have this, you know, increased list of character defects, but we used it too because when we had this softball name change, everybody on the team got to pick their own. And that was just kind of a cool thing. So, like, as you can see, I'm codependent.
That's good.
But, like, we all kind of wore our defects with pride, you know what I mean? And, like, that was just a cool exercise for us. Like, everybody wanted our picture. We'd go to these NA softball tournaments, and everybody wanted to, like, you know, take pictures of our backs and stuff. And, you know, I'd rather take a picture of my back than, like, put my ego out by having it on the front. No matter how big that list got, it all came back to the same self-centered fear. It always comes back to that same self-centered fear. I don't even know what I'm afraid of. Like, I don't. Like, everything that everything I've put faith in this program, in this process, has worked out for the better. But I still have that fear that it's not going to. I'm still terrified that, like, something's going to go wrong, the other shoe's going to drop, and I'm going to be left out in the cold. As Sharon shared before me, it's like things always seem to work out if I do the next right thing, you know, and they have, and like sometimes, you know, maybe God's closing the door to open another window, and maybe like I don't see it while I'm going through it, maybe I don't see like that this is actually a blessing in disguise, because there's something better coming, and it's happened over and over and over and over again, but like I'm still terrified, you know what I mean, like this is uncharted territory. I was reading last night in the Living Clean book, you know, sometimes when we stay clean and we get to a point in recovery that we've never experienced before, like we enter into this uncharted territory and we just don't know how to live without drugs. You know, like I knew how to like bag up, cut, you know, repackage and sell some dope. And that's about the extent of my life before I got here. Now I probably don't even remember like how much stuff weighs, you know, like it's been a while. So like I'm in this new life that now I'm like going through, you know, levels of college and like employment issues and, you know, taxes and like homeowner problems that like I never had to experience. So like my where I go to get experience, I can't just go anywhere. Like I have to go to experienced members and ask, and that's like humility, and that's a big part of the seventh step. You know, being able to ask for help to fix me. You know, it's part of a lot of our steps, but like when I work through seven, seven, from like you shared about how six was like way harder than four. I think seven was way harder than six for me personally. My assignment was once every morning I had to pray for one of my shortcomings to be removed. And I had to do that for a week. And if I missed a day, I had to start over. And like, I'm not a big prayer person. So by Tuesday, I was already missing a day. And it took me a long time. It took me probably 9 months to finish, you know, my list of shortcomings. That it wasn't even the whole 30. It was probably like 15, and it took me forever to finish. But some of them I had to go back to numerous times. I'm not going to tell you which ones they were, because that's not me anymore. But some of them I had to repeat over and over and over again, because they kept popping up, you know. And like some of that stuff has been maybe not removed, but it's dissipated. And some of that stuff is still around today. And like I still got to work on things. You know, I mean, I'm never going to be a perfect character. I'm hoping to just be a little bit better than I was yesterday. But like humility, man, about being able to ask and like realizing that I'm not that person I was when I got here. I'm not the person I thought I was when I got here, thank God. And I'm also not the person that I really was when I got here. Double thank God. Like, I came in here just a mess, you know. And like today, I'm still a mess, but I'm a better mess. I'm a cleaner mess. I'm a neater mess. And like I'm somewhat of an organized mess today. You know, I can identify like some stuff that happens. Like I can realize that like it's not always all my fault, and it's not always I can blame others either. Sometimes I play a part in things, and I have to look at my part, you know. And I can't just like, I can't brush things off with a minimum of concern if it's something I need to work on. You know, pain's inevitable. around here, and like I go through my share of it. It's been a rough year for me. I'm just going to be honest. Like I didn't really want to come out here and like dump, but like it's been a rough year for me, and like the same stuff keeps happening. I've been dealing with a lot of failure, a lot of rejection, a lot of just like brick walls. But you know, honestly, I've been through this kind of stuff before, and I've been through harder stuff than this before, and I've overcome harder stuff than this before by like just riding it out and holding the hell on, you know, and like just doing the next right thing and continuing to do this process and like doing what works, the simple stuff that works. You know, I started recommitting to my home group. I'm showing up, I'm helping them set up chairs. Like that's it. Like I'm not deep into the service process. I'm not on like the world board. I'm not, you know what I mean? I'm not the RD. I'm not doing any of that stuff. I'm not the P&A chair. I'm not doing H&I. I am setting up chairs at my home group, and I'm tearing down chairs at my home group, and I'm wiping up coffee spills. Like that's it. You know, and that's the kind of stuff that's going to actually keep me here, keep me like motivated, and just keep me in this process until I can get to the other side of whatever I'm going through, you know. I don't know where we're at on time, but like I don't have a whole lot to share. Like I've just been kind of I've been kind of in my own spot, you know, and I'm glad I got through this one without too much drama. But like I appreciate the opportunity to come up and share for Narcotics Anonymous, man. Like, the process that I've gone through throughout this whole time has been just, I mean, it's been highs and lows. Like, we went through, this forward trajectory for, like, 4 years, and then it's been real rocky, and it's been up and down, chaotic for the remaining, you know, five. But I continue to show up, man. Like, I do have faith that, like, things are going to eventually work out, things are going to eventually happen the way that they're supposed to, and, like, I'm going to be okay as long as I don't take that first drug, man. Like, the first drug, I know where it's going to get me. Today is the anniversary of the 11th and final time I was incarcerated. It's also my mom's birthday, so you can imagine how that phone call went. But I was clean. The last time I went, I was already clean. I had already been here. You know, I had, like, 9 days clean or something that day, and you call your mother and you tell her, hey, happy birthday, I'm going back to jail. And for whatever reason, like, I felt different that time. Like, I almost felt okay. 9 days clean, I didn't know I was going to be here 9 years later. But I almost felt okay, and it's like I had just enough taste of surrender that I knew this might be different. You know, I'd been to jail 10 times before, and each time it was like, most of them were a surprise. Most of them were like, hey, there's lights in my rear view, and then I ended up in jail. But this one I actually knew I was going because I had an appointment with my probation officer, and like I was showing up for life, and I was like, look, man, I'm honest, I used, whatever, I got arrested. He's like, come see me. I went and saw him. Take me to jail. You know, and this time it felt different. He let me in and out 7 days for my, you know, my first month clean. I spent 7 of them in jail. You know, and no matter what, I kept coming back, and like I'm still here. You know, I'll see you all next year. That's all I got. Thanks.